Love you, baby. Good morning, everyone. So I invite you to close your eyes and imagine the best version of you possible. The very best version of you. Imagine who you are. That's who you really are. Let go of any part of you that doesn't believe it. And keeping that very perfect vision and version of you close, come back on in, open your eyes. So who takes time every day for their imagination? Yeah, I'm with the rest of you. This topic took me by surprise, I have to admit. We all probably would have expected it was right up my alley. Yeah, infinite imagination. There's so much more to it than what I ever expected, what I ever gave it credit for. Ernest Holmes reminds us, at the root of the whole matter, we find that the creative power of the universe does not create through will, but through imagination, imaging, feeling, and knowing. Imaging, feeling, and knowing. This, no surprise that imagination is right here in the month of creativity, living creatively. Living creatively. It begins with imagination. And I'll tell you, I have been of the opinion, and maybe you join me here, that it was really for the kids. I'm a big proponent of imagination with children. I teach it, I encourage it, I advocate it, and I'm here to remind myself and all of us that imagination is for all of us to embrace, to get to know, and to experience. To experience. So we're going to do some imagining this morning, and we're going to do some reflection and some contemplation about it. Young children learn by imagining and doing. We know this. They learn by role-playing. They learn by roughhousing even, by imagining who they are. And somewhere along the way, many of us are tempted to let go of that and consider it to be child's play. But it's not true. Imagining is how we begin the creative process. We image forth. Imagination grows by exercise and is actually more powerful in the mature person. And here's why. Because imagination, when it's understood, is part of the creative process, is powerful and is creative. Now, I am not talking about wistful thinking and daydreaming. I'm talking about using the power of our mind to image forth a grand idea of who we are, of who we want to be. Anybody have anything in their life that they wish was different? Okay, let's just do a little experiment. Picture that, whatever it is. Your relationship, your career, your finances, it could be already magnificent, and we're going to imagine it being even greater. Even greater. So if you want to, close your eyes. Picture that. Bring that idea into the front of your mind. What would it be like? Imagine. How could it be even greater? How could it be even greater? what would it look like? What would it feel like? What would it taste like? What would it smell like? What would it be like? Picture what it could feel like. So we're tasting imagination. Come on back. You'll get to go back to it again later. Probably a lot. We're picturing what it's like to use our imagination consciously with a purpose, because that's when it's really powerful, and that's why imagination in the mature person, and we're not talking about old, we're talking about spiritually mature. There's a big difference. It's not about age. It's about understanding the power of our imagination. It's about understanding it. Bachelard. He's a French philosopher. Imagination is the voyage into the land of the infinite. Doesn't that just feel good? We're giving ourselves permission to play. We're giving ourselves permission to imagine a greater life, to imagine the potential, to imagine what it could be like. And we're doing that because we are aware of the creative process. We're doing that because we're aware that our thoughts are things. We're doing that because we're aware that what we're thinking about comes about. I have been one to live in a very sheltered world. I like my bubble. I'm really friendly with it. I understand it. It understands me. We get along really well. It's just the way it is. However, I have had an awakening. I have had an inspiration that my imagination could expand, that I could know an even greater world. My life is pretty darn good. I'm here to tell you. It's really great. And yet, I could imagine a greater life. I could imagine a greater experience. So last week, Dr. Heather talked about the creative process, and she talked about the instructions of living creatively. And she mentioned in her talk using morning pages as an outlet. Maybe some of you were here. Maybe you heard it online. It's a great practice of just letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Really good practice. Writing is a fabulous way to exercise our imagination. Mark Matusek, who is an author and a speaker and a writer, talks about using writing as intentional writing to change our idea about something. So I offer to you a practice of using writing to further your imagination around an idea. Take an idea, write about it intentionally. Use your imagination. So here's my example. I have this project in my house that I've been wanting to get done for years. Years, 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 years. And I'm kind of stuck. I'm kind of stuck. So my practice is to write about it and to use my imagination about how could this happen, because clearly it's not happening with what I'm using right now. Clearly it's not coming forth. So now I am writing about the beautiful bathroom in my house and how it's got this great floor and I love walking into it and I love being there and I love having guests over and they can spend the night because there's a bathroom for them. How wonderful is that? And I'm writing and I'm using my imagination about how it's going to get done because I of myself do not know how. I have tried every trick in my pocket and it hasn't worked. So no blame, no shame. It's not about that. It's about how can I use the power of my imagination to move something forward, to be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, to recognize the presence of the divine. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in knowing God in a greater way in my life. And if my pathway to God includes imagination, well, hallelujah. I guess I'm going to join with those kids a little more often. Recognize the power of play a little more often. Yeah, even in ministerial class, Reverend Michael will remember, we did role-playing. We role-played what it was like. We used our imagination to pass our panels, to do those things that we didn't know. That was uncharted territory. So we used our imagination to plot it out. And guess what? It worked. Reverend Bruce likes to remind us that we're either rehearsing our disasters or confidently claiming and proclaiming our good. I might have misquoted you a little. But I love that because our imagination can work for us or against us. And again, I'm reminding us, I'm calling us to be spiritually conscious, spiritually mature adults. And use our imagination for power, for good. So there's a great story. Maybe you guys are familiar with it. It's called Alice in Wonderland. It's a great story. We're all very familiar with the quote by C.S. Lewis in it, but I'm going to give you the lead-in. "That's the way it's done," the queen said with great decision. "Nobody can do two things at once, you know. Let's consider your age to begin with. How old are you?" "I'm 7 and a half exactly." "You needn't say exactly," the queen remarked. "I can believe it without that. Now I'll give you something to believe. I'm just 101, 5 months and a day." "I can't believe that," said Alice. "Can't you?" said the queen. In a pitying tone, "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the queen. "When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I'd believe as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." I like that half hour a day using my imagination consciously. Consciously using it. Consciously remembering to invite Spirit in. Because that's what we're doing when we're using our imagination. We're making God welcome. Last week we were in Tennessee, and the big thing about being at my sister's house in Tennessee is she has this great ski boat, and she was a competitive water skier, and she taught water skiing, and so everyone is expected to ski, and it's been 14 years since I skied, and it was about 10 years before that time, and I knew I was going to have to ski. I knew it was coming. Oh, God. I did a lot of praying. And so the first day we're out on the boat and people are skiing. My son skis. It's great. Then the next day people are skiing and she keeps asking me, "Well, you're going to ski, right? You're going to ski, right? You're going to ski, right?" And I keep saying out loud, "Yes, yes, yes." And inside I'm going, "Oh God, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this?" But I knew I couldn't get out of it. I knew I couldn't get out of it, and I found myself on the boat with the perfect mix of people. You guys know what it's like, right? To have the right people with you to do something that you might be a little bit nervous about doing, like I might hurt myself. And so I'm listening to the coaching that she's giving to the different skiers. I'm listening. And then all of a sudden I remembered, oh, I could invite God in. Oh, what a relief. What a relief that I could let go and let God. And I heard my sister say, don't try. Just allow your body to lift up. Just allow the boat to pull you forward. Just picture it and stand up. And so I get out there and, you know, I'm sitting in the position, my skis are up, I've got the little baby bar across it to hold my skis together. We do our part too. She says, you look great, you look great. Knees bent, arms straight. Okay, here we go. The boat takes off, and I go, yeah, it was awesome. I said, okay, I got this. I got this. Takes a while, too. Takes a while for the boat to come back around, bring the rope back around. No rope, no hope. Gotta have the rope. So bring the rope back around, get a hold of the rope, get back into the position. I'm ready. Knees bent, arms straight. Let it pull me forward. Picture it. Imagine it's possible, Patty. Just imagine it's possible. She says, okay, here we go. Boat takes me, and all of a sudden, I'm standing on the skis. I'm standing on the skis, and I can feel myself gliding across the water. I can feel the pull of the boat. I can feel the presence of God. I can feel the joy of the people in the boat that are so excited for me because, really, none of us were really sure it would happen. I could feel it. Image it forth. Feel it, believe it, know it. I experienced it. I imagined it in my mind, and there I was. It was a beautiful thing. And what was exceptionally beautiful about it was I recognized the process. And so here again, we build our muscle memory. We build that conviction of knowing that imagination isn't child's play, it's the gateway to the infinite. So if imagination is so important and it's effortless, how do we get more? How do we nurture it as adults? Well, I really appreciate the practice of writing. I really appreciate the practice of storytelling. And Ernest Holmes reminds us, he explains it perfectly on page 87 of the Science of Mind book, that we don't. There's no such thing as your mind, my mind, and God's mind. There's one mind in which we all live and move and have our being. Things are ideas in form. What else could they be? There is nothing from which to make these things except ideas. In the beginning, we behold nothing visible. There is only an infinite possibility, a limitless imagination. A limitless imagination. Whether we think that we're good or bad at imagining, there's more. There's always more. It's infinite imagination. As good as it is right now, as good as I can imagine it, there's more. It's kind of daunting and exciting at the same time for me. I don't know about y'all. For me, it's a little like, whoa, really? So I let myself relax into that idea. I let myself relax into the idea that there is always more. It's infinite imagination. That means that you, each of you, could imagine yourselves giving this very same talk And what would it look like? Completely different. Each of us could be writing an exceptional novel, a story that's compelling and inspiring, and whatever your story would be. Because imagination is personalized through each of us. That song that makes you cry. Oh, imagine writing a song like that. Imagine feeling the love. Imagine feeling that unconditioned and unconditional love that you read about, that you watch in movies. Imagine knowing that that's yours. Imagine knowing that you can do anything. And not just because I said so, because there's a creative power working through you, through me, through each of us. Imagine the exquisite joy of surrendering to the power and the presence of God within. So, here is an analogy that maybe would be helpful for you. Imagine you have your home and you're living in it. And so, for example, my house is somewhere around 2,600 square feet. And I live in every room of it. What if my home was really 20,000 square feet, but I'm only living in my 2,500 square feet? That's the way imagination is. We often live, well, I already told you I do, live in our bubble of contentment. This is what I can accept. This is what I know. But there's more. There's more. And that's the way life is. We might act like we're living in a small world, but really, it's infinite. Okay. So I'm going to brush right through. You know, there's that really great song, which I promise I won't sing. It's a promise. It's called It's Just My Imagination. Do you guys know it? It's really great. So this really speaks to me. And it's just one of those really great tunes that you can always hang on to. I won't belt it out. It goes like, it's just my imagination running away with me. And so sometimes I invite my imagination to run away with me. And sometimes I notice, oh, it's just my imagination running away with me. That's that disaster I'm rehearsing. It's just my imagination. And what do I know about my imagination? It's mine. It's mine. At any given moment, I can switch it. I love to know what's going to happen. I don't really care for surprise endings. I don't read the back of the book first, the end of the book first, but I read the back of it because I want to know what the story's about. I don't watch the end of the movie first, but I tend to like to know what the movie's going to be about, even if it just means, well, what's the name of this show? So my practice is becoming more willing to not know. My practice is becoming more willing to allow life to unfold, to invite imagination into my experience. I need to close because we're running out of time, but I'm going to invite you to just do one practice that I do every day to start my morning out. And it's called a daily invocation. And so we're going to end with this. So I invite you, if you want to close your eyes. And in this holy and sacred moment, I call upon the presence of imagination in my life to come forth into expression now this day. I do this so that I might clearly see that which ought to be done by me in order to more fully express the divinity that is within me. Therefore, in the light of wisdom, I declare that if I could do whatever I want to do this day in order to make the world a better place to be, I would love to. And whatever that is for you, that desire, I celebrate that in you, through you, as you. I celebrate that divine imagination expressing in your life beautifully, magnificently, and powerfully. And so it is.